Listening to the Clear Cash Podcast. This is Julian, and with me, as always, Nick.
It's Nick.
Nick.
That's me. Hi.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How's your November been so far?
It's been fucked up. How's your November? How's your November been?
It's been okay so far. Had my best friend Mario by my side, guiding me. Teaching me, loving me.
He knows it the way.
His white gloved hand firmly grasping mine as we traverse this hellscape.
His guidance is needed in these times.
Very much so. Have you been playing a lot of Odyssey lately?
Not a lot, but I've been playing it when I can. Mm-hmm. And it's the soothing break from this
the harsh hellscape, reality,
as you've described it. That is needed. Yeah, it's such indeed. It's such a nice comfort game.
It is. It absolutely is. It's very peaceful. I appreciate how peaceful it is, given that there's been Mario games where I've found frustration in them somehow, whether it be performing maneuvers or Mario Party, where you play those mini games and you want to bash your bros or your friends or whoever you're
playing. Or the game.
Yeah, or the game. But it's been good so far. I've enjoyed it. I wanted to ask you, do you take your Switch out at all, or is it firmly on its dock on your TV?
You know, I played like half of Zelda out in handheld mode.
Okay.
I just sit in like an armchair and fucking like climbing mountains and stuff.
Yeah.
But I haven't played almost any of Mario in handheld mode, and I don't know if that's because of some quality that the game has, or is it a direct result of the controls requiring like motion?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you?
I found that I've played the majority of Odyssey in handheld mode. Mm-hmm. I've actually recently stopped playing because I want to finish the game and play more in its docked format with the motion, you know, Joy-Con in each hand.
Mm-hmm.
But do you take your Switch ever like out like portably, like if you know you're gonna go on a car? I mean, you drive a lot and you.
Yeah, I know. I took it on a flight once. That was really great, playing Zelda on a flight, and it never fucking died.
Yeah.
Like, people were complaining about the battery early on, and I've never encountered a problem where it was a real issue, but, like, that could be because, like, my maximum gaming sessions are... Oh, God. I hate the phrase gaming sessions. But the maximum duration of my sessions is
your
like
sesh?
My sesh, dude. I'm shredding that Switch is like 4 hours, which is about battery life.
Right.
But if I'm really like gaming hardcore, you know, and I've got like my Dew in one hand and my Cheetos in the other, then like I'm going all night, you know.
Of course.
And in that case, I'm gonna plug it in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm excited because next month I get to go on my first flight, as you mentioned.
You've never been on a plane before?
This is going to be the first time in the air. First time in the air, period. I've never jumped or been levitated. This is going to be the first time I've left the safety of the Earth.
That explains a lot. I remember I tripped you once when you were leaving your bedroom, and you just appeared on the floor. There was no in-between.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just... I guess it's a superpower of sorts, but I don't like to talk about it because
sounds like a curse.
It's also my shame. No, this is the first flight since I've had the Switch, so I'm excited to be able to have the excuse to take it portable and play for about 30 minutes on a flight to Tucson, Arizona from LA. So
that'll be extremely brief.
Extremely, yeah. I'll have enough time to take it out, turn Mario on, maybe get a moon or two. Yeah. And then put it right back in because that flight is short.
Cool. All right. Well, that's a good distraction.
Right. And you know what I won't be playing is Sonic Forces, which
Why
just
is that?
Came out this week.
What's wrong with it? something wrong with it? Do you not have it? Or
many, many things. No. Well, I don't have it.
Okay.
But mostly because I don't want to have it. I've never been a Sonic fan for like diehard. You know, I've been pretty casual. Played a couple in my time. Sonic Adventure OG, probably my favorite. I've missed out on the past 10 years or so of these Sonic games that have come out for various systems that, I heard a phrase, I think it's called Burst Sonic or something like that.
Burst processing?
No, it was a phrase used to describe the type of Sonic games that come out these days that are more or less, when you're in the motion of running and you're playing the game, it feels like you're being pulled and you don't feel like you have total control. Mm-hmm. It's very cinematic, I guess, in that regard.
Oh, I see. I was thinking of blast processing anyway, which is a Genesis thing.
Right.
So go on.
Anyway, so that's been the trend with the Sonic games that have come out in the past 10 years is that they've felt very out of the control of the user that's playing. Like you'll be running as Sonic and you'll gain speed and then you can dash into a couple enemies, but then you get locked into what feels like a cutscene, although it's not a cutscene. You just have very little control of your character as he's running throughout the stage.
Yeah, they're like elaborate roller coasters.
Yeah, exactly. And that's essentially what this new game Sonic Forces is. And had released that demo about 3 or 4 weeks ago that only if you just played what they gave you featured about 3 minutes of content, right? And people took that as a warning sign, as they should. And the game came out this week and is about 3 hours long to complete.
Whoa.
Yeah. And people are raising hell about that because of course, to refund a game on Steam, you have to play it less than 2 hours. So if you play through Sonic Forces,
it's tricky.
Get to 3 hours, can't refund.
It's tricky.
Gotta cut your losses. Yeah, so people are mad about that. Very short game, only 30 levels.
Wait, what? What do you mean only 30 levels? That's a huge number, isn't it?
I thought that was small for a 2 hour game to have 31 minute levels.
Oh, they're a minute long?
I think so. Yeah. They're like a couple minutes long. So
that's fucking crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, you look back at like Sonic 2, that's got like four stages in it, something like that. And then three levels.
Yeah,
per
that's
stage.
True.
But that's, you know, longer than 3 hours, I guess, collectively.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Sonic is a mess right now, I'll say that. And they hit an A+ with Sonic Mania. That game's great. Mostly because it was developed outside of Sega, developed by just developed by Sonic fans, it seems like.
Yeah.
So that was a great sign of things that could potentially come, and this set them back again.
I don't understand that fan base or the company. It feels like both of them think that franchise has qualities that they remember it having that it actually just doesn't.
Right.
Like these games that have followed since Adventure are all within that model, but Adventure wasn't necessarily a good game. It was just a showpiece.
Sure.
And it had like that like Japanese quality to it of that like late 90s early 2000s era, that like bright vivaciousness that they could I guess try to replicate over and over again, but that's not a game necessarily. And they keep fucking doing it and they keep sucking ass. I don't know why they keep doing it. I don't know why fans keep going back for it.
Well, whatever. Has there ever been a good Sonic game, truly? Like really?
Fucking no.
There really I don't even know if there hasn't. That's the conclusion. Maybe Sonic Racing. Not at all.
Like, I liked people like Sonic Rush.
Mm-hmm.
When DS I kind of liked the advanced games. They were neat, but like too fast for the screen size. And I liked Adventure at the time for what I previously described, not because it's a fun game to play. It's a fun space to occupy. It's a pleasant space to occupy. And that's it. Like everything else has sucked ass resoundingly, and that's including Sonic 2. I don't like the way those games control. I don't like the momentum required to build speed. That's just such the antithesis of that character. I don't
Yeah,
know
exactly.
why. I don't get it. I never understood the franchise.
Yeah, they have always been outside of my realm of thinking, you know. I just never wanted to be involved. And
There is like, well, there is like a fan base about around being an animal person that is not necessarily rooted in being a Sonic fan, but Sonic character design fits that interest so neatly, and it's evident that in developing forces, they're at least a little bit aware
Trying to
of
speak
that.
to that community.
Yes, yeah, and they allow you to like build a character, right? Like
Yeah, but it's pretty wonky, dude. It does not look good. I mean, it looks like bad fan fiction.
all right, well, maybe that's what this has been all along. Like, I think people have been inventing this notion of what a Sonic game could be in their heads and
Yeah.
what a Sonic game was in their heads, and everybody's been trying to meet in the middle for years, and maybe this is the first step in that direction where it just becomes like
The
a fan
singularity.
fiction generator.
Yeah. Oh,
What did
God.
you make? What animal did you use?
I wasn't allowed to choose one in the demo.
Oh, you didn't even bother to play
No.
the full game. Yeah, the
No,
demo's a
I
bad idea.
haven't played the full game.
Okay.
We reached out to Sega for review code on memory cards, but they didn't get back to us. So, didn't get to play the full game. Probably won't ever. I'll stick with Sonic Mania. I'll play that if I have a Sonic fix, which is very, very rare that I need that blue
Yeah.
devil coursing through my veins.
I like looking at him. He's neat
He's
looking.
yeah, I mean he's got some cool shoes and he runs fast. I like things that go fast, so
Sonic Rush soundtrack is really good.
yeah, they've had some bangers actually. There is that one rockin' song on from Sonic, what was it? Maybe was it Sonic Adventure? I don't know. They've had a
Was it the
couple with
one
like
with English vocals?
shredding guitar, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was two.
And then the Mystic Ruins song is like burned into my mind. Do you
Fuck, I
remember
don't
that from
remember it off the
Sonic
top of my head, but I
Adventure?
believe it.
I'll drop a sample of it right here. Yeah. Okay, so that was Mystic Ruins. It's good
Okay.
shit. I was always hoping someone would remix it and add like a cool beat to it.
Surely that has happened. We've fucking seen Kendrick Lamar remix through Splatoon. Like, I'm sure someone has
Yeah,
made
that's true.
Mystic Ruins.
That's true. Anyway, the true topic of today's podcast is well, we've been playing, or I've been playing Wolfenstein 2 lately, and we wanted to take a step back and speak on Twitch shooters in general, what we feel about them, where they're headed, what the current state is,
Where they came from.
where they came from. So we're gonna get into that, and I'll start with Wolfenstein 2, which is the big one out right now.
I'm so jealous, dude. I want to play that game so fucking badly.
It's really, 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 really good, man. And you played a shit ton of Doom on Ultra, so you've been in that mindset too recently.
It's a good game.
And I mean, Wolfenstein plays exactly like Doom, you know? Bethesda's. Well, they're just publishing these, right? Who's the
Yeah.
developer on these?
This one's developed by Machine Games,
Okay.
who previously was Starbreeze. And Starbreeze is the developer of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay.
That's right.
And I think they produced the
The
Payday
Payday
games.
games, yeah.
Yeah. Great, historically great developers.
Yeah, and like really cool developers too, like
Syndicate too.
Okay, yeah, they do a lot of fan service stuff, and they're always one of the first booths you see when you go to E3 every year. They're always up front.
Right. Yeah, they got the contests. And
yeah,
shit.
They always are popping off something right when you walk in, so you always see the Starbreeze stuff, which have now rebranded as Machine Games. You say?
Former developers from Starbreeze are now Machine Games.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, Wolfenstein 2 came out on the same day that Odyssey came out. We talked about this on the last ep.
Hell of a week.
That was an intense week. The most intense week of the year, probably for gaming fans. Also, dude, Stranger Things came out. Season 2 came out that day.
I haven't even fucking started that.
Fuck.
I can't keep up.
Yeah, there's too much going on. Can't. But you know, Wolfenstein 2 is great, and you know, they've had a really interesting marketing cycle the past few months with what's going on in the U.S. and with politics, and they kind of were riding some of those waves and reaching to people who are on the right side, you know, not the right side, but on
the correct
right side. The correct side. Yeah.
You could. Yeah, it's arguably a cynical move. Or it's a savvy and like fist in the air move from a corporation. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever the case, the product of it is positive, in that it is directly suggested, is stated that punching Nazis is good and that you should do it.
Yeah, exactly. And you do a lot of that in Wolfenstein 2. And not just punching, but you do... you don't get the glory kills in Doom, you know, where it's the complete shred of the arm and the leg flying off and then beating them with the arm. But you do get up close and you can initiate some fucking really intense, brutal melee kills. And yeah, I mean, you kill Nazis for, you know, 10, 11 hours. It's kind of a short game.
Okay.
But, you know, Twitch shooters generally are, you know, in between that 10 to 14 hour mark, wouldn't you say? Like, at least the more recent ones?
I mean, like, functionally, a long Twitch shooter is too long. You don't want that. Or other experientially, anyway. I personally want shorter campaigns anyway, because I'm just not going to get through a long campaign most of the time anymore due to time constraints.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with that. I'm happy to hear that it's an 11-hour campaign personally.
Yeah, and with that, you get a lot of story too. And the story exists throughout, even when you're playing. Mm-hmm. And it tells a really genuine, interesting story, I found. And, you know, I didn't even finish the first Wolfenstein. I think I played a demo of it. I never fully understood the story because I didn't play it. The first game, I mean, I never really fully understood the Wolfenstein 2 story in the best way possible, just because I didn't play the first game. So now I want to go back and replay the first one so I get the full picture.
Right.
Not completely necessary that you play the first one, though. I feel like there is a lot of plot points in the second game that are entirely self-sufficient. And then again, if you're just playing for the gameplay, don't need to play the first one, because the second one just enhances everything.
For what it's worth, I'm playing the first one.
Oh,
so glad I can play the second one. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so we've been saying Twitch shooter a couple times, and I don't know if we've actually properly explained what that is, if you're unfamiliar. We don't mean twitch.com. This isn't... Well, I'm sure people are streaming this, right? But that's not what this is in reference to.
Yeah, the Twitch shooter being a genre of first-person shooter in which more energy is placed on quickly dispatching of all enemies rather than strategically planning, hiding. Very little of that comes in games like these.
So although there is a big difference between a game like the recent Doom 2016 and the Wolfenstein games, because the Wolfenstein games, at least the past two, have had a big emphasis on stealth if you want to, although not important or not required in any sense. You could totally play this the ultimate Twitch shooter way, which is to run and gun, get into a rhythm in which you jump from enemy to enemy. Very, very fast paced is the key here.
Yeah, so like historically, Twitch shooters have been about entering large spaces, and the entire purpose is to dispatch all of the enemies without dying. And typically that you want to do that as quickly as possible, so as to ensure your safety. Quake, Doom are games that exemplify that kind of gameplay. And then as first-person shooter development moved forward, strategy entered in a way that you can see in a game like Wolfenstein, in which the AI is not immediately aware of you, so you have the opportunity to plan. You can hide. You can operate using stealth. Classically, Twitch shooters don't allow for that kind of thing, but there are roots of it in games like Wolfenstein and in games like Call of Duty.
Right, exactly. So do you remember the first sort of beginning stage of a Twitch shooter you played? I mean,
yeah, totally, man. Like, one of my strongest multiplayer memories, and I've been playing PC multiplayer games since I was like 14, probably, is playing Quake 2 Capture the Flag online with grappling hook attachments and all kinds of other fucking weird mods and stuff. And the speed at which those games played is just unparalleled, and offers like a different kind of experience from a game like Counter-Strike, which also has moments of speed, but not just aggressive, intense, like persistent speed like that. What about you?
Well, I think that maybe the first game that I felt had that level of speed and had that intense reactionary, like, running and gunning was Turok on N64.
Right.
That game felt very fast, and I remember playing that and falling into a rhythm in which it felt like those games that you see where the whole goal is to just glide, you know, make your character glide down these. It just felt like very free, and unlike GoldenEye at the time, which you felt like locked into the ground, you know. I don't even know. I don't think you can even jump in GoldenEye for N64.
No, you could drop, but you couldn't jump.
Yeah. In Turok, you had the ability to jump. You could climb. It felt there was a level of verticality that was there that felt very freeing. And then beyond that, I think Unreal Tournament on PC was one of the first. Yeah, there was that. I think it was Unreal Tournament 2000, maybe, that had the there's one that I played that had that famous space station level.
Divided Worlds or something like that.
I don't know, man. I had one, and I played space it station all level? The fucking time. Oh, I had it on Mac, I think. Like I had it on those first Macs that were like the different colors, you know.
Yeah, iMac.
The iMacs, yeah, the blue and green. We had a blue one. And I would get on, you know, dial up and play some fucking Unreal Tournament.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. And you know, those games are difficult for sure online. And I never was good at them. So I definitely enjoy them more in a single player experience, I think.
For sure. Yeah, there are some pros. And I actually keep forgetting to cancel my Humble Monthly subscription. And this time I got Quake Champions, which
that's
is going
to be the ongoing theme of this podcast. Every single episode you're going to bring up forgetting to cancel your Humble Bundle monthly.
I should just listen to this podcast afterwards and I'll remember. I ended up with Quake Champions this time.
Is that the new one, or is that that's an older one?
No, it's a new one. It's in I think it's either in development or just exited development. I think it's in development.
Oh, okay.
And it's a multiplayer only Quake game, and it has hero type characters where they each have a unique special ability, which is new to the Quake series, but otherwise it is a Quake game,
right?
Just like huge vertical spaces, like fixed weapon spawn points, and just speed. You just gotta kill the dudes as fast as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
And I hopped on, and I thought I was doing pretty well. And I looked at the leaderboard, and I was doing not very well. But it was still satisfying to play. I just don't know that I'm in the headspace for that kind of game for as long a period as I used to be. Like, right. I would play Quake 2 online for fucking like 5-6 hours at a time. And this one, I was ready to try a new mode after like 45 minutes at most.
Do you?
It's cool though.
Yeah, definitely. I think some of those experiences, especially in the way that online shooters are these days, where everything is like, I feel like everything's trending towards being hero based or class based. So then thinking back on those original like Unreal tournaments and Quake and games, where it was just run as fast as you can, find the rocket launcher, you know, no heroes, and everyone had the same amount of health.
Yeah, totally. There's an element of like map domination only. Like, that's what governed your strategy, was where are the things that I need, and then how do I control those spots. Whereas like now you've got like loadouts and shit to control and develop like a character type,
right,
that could potentially just be better than another character type.
So are you, I mean, when you play, obviously you're playing Wolfenstein now, playing the first one to get the story out of it.
Right.
When you played Doom, did you focus at all on the story of the game?
The new Doom or?
The new Doom.
Yeah, I didn't focus on it, but I enjoyed it. Like, it was present and it was self-aware in a like really refreshing and surprising way for a game of that budget, I guess.
Right.
You just wouldn't expect a AAA shooter from a storied franchise to be aware that it's silly and make fun of itself in a new way that previously hadn't occurred. Like, the last Doom game was deadly serious. Doom 3.
That's right. Yeah. That was like a jump scare game almost.
Yeah, totally. This is very much not that. Like, you start the game like having been raised from the dead by like unholy like demonic practice off of a fucking like altar, and then you approach a computer and it says like attention, like demon infestation,
right?
It's stupid.
It's just very on the nose.
Yeah, it's great. I love that shit.
That is great. But I think that at the same time, like, that is a slope that, like, because, well, I think Duke Nukem started off as obviously as a parody of that genre, and then just parodied itself. Oh, I can't fucking say that word, apparently. It parodied itself into fucking oblivion. Like, the last Duke Nukem game was so awful. And
Go ahead.
Well, I would just, obviously, Duke Nukem was spawned out of those early Doom games. Like, Duke Nukem was a direct inspiration, directly inspired by the early Doom stuff. So,
yeah,
I think they took that parody and drove it into the ground. But you're right that the Doom 2016 did take a note of parody onto itself, but didn't drive it home too hard.
Yeah, I think Duke was first of all the product of its time, in like an era, in a way that cannot be, it's indelible on the character. Like, you can't change it. Duke can never be modernized just as a concept. He cannot be modernized. He is directly inspired by Doom games, and perhaps by the self-seriousness of like the hero male that enters like some alien infestation and single-handedly kicks all their asses. But he also like directly quoted John Carpenter movies and stuff.
Yeah. Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
And, he basically was Rowdy Roddy Piper.
He exactly was Rowdy Roddy Piper. And there wasn't much to that. And maybe Doom learned. Doom was surprising in that it learned that people like it for being so honest, And like Doom is just like a hard place to be. It's you're on Mars and it's covered in aliens and they're all from hell. and that's cool. And there's something honest about that simplicity. Mm-hmm. That
well, they know that to release a Doom game in 2016, they have to turn up the gore. They have to make it as twitchy and fast as possible. They want to make it so playing it on 60 frames per second is the most preferable method to play it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that they got to turn that soundtrack into the most badass fucking shredding guitar soundtrack, because that's what you want to hear when you're literally shredding, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Shredding apart demons from hell.
This is the thing about Doom in comparison to Sonic, is that I mean, outside of like the obvious disparities, but Doom understands intrinsically what people remember about Doom that isn't actually true. Like the music in Doom, it's good, but it's still MIDI. Like, but people remember it as being shredding metal.
Yeah, like super badass. And then you go back and listen to it, and it's like, doo, doo,
doo, yeah. Doo, doo. And they remember it being like disgustingly gory,
yeah,
and extremely fast, and you go back and play it and it's really not either of those things. And
no, it's especially pretty tame.
Yeah. But all of that is heightened in memory, and you remember the Doom guy as being like this fucking badass dude, but all you're really remembering is the cover of the box, which in which he is standing on top of a pile of demons, one of them grabbing his forearm, shotguns another in the face.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else to that in the game. Like, you don't ever see the Doom guy do any cool shit. You're just playing as him.
That's right.
But they took all of the stuff that you invent about that game in your memory and like manifested it in an actual game. Mm-hmm. And they did it well. And Sonic doesn't fucking understand anything about what people like about Sonic.
Not at all. Well, I'm glad that you did work in a Doom versus Sonic comparison, because that's what people want to hear, man.
I haven't, until now, I hadn't yet decided on that.
Yeah.
It was close.
Well, and speaking on that as well, is like, one of the things that's always stood out about these games, as far back as I can remember, I mean, I think some of the original Doom games had, you know, the difficulty setting, mm-hmm. right? And
right.
Even then, like, I think they were still insulting you then, right? They've always insulted you for playing on easy, right? They call you like
I think so. I can't remember if Doom did that. I honestly haven't played Doom in like 20 years, but the games of that type definitely did, like Shadow Warrior, and I'm pretty sure Blood did as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, the new yeah. Wolfenstein game has 6 different difficulty settings.
Mm-hmm.
I played
That's
on
so many.
Yeah, it's a lot, man. And I played right in the middle. I played what was described, I can't remember the name of it, but it was
like 20 or something like that.
Yeah, it was like described as for the experienced shooter, you know, because it was challenging. That game is really hard. And then of course, like, the easiest setting shows your character with a bonnet in a pacifier in his mouth. And it says, so it's silly. I think it was "Don't hurt me, Daddy" is the first choice or something like that. But do you think that, I mean, obviously the difficulty of those games has kind of been a calling card in some regard historically. Mm-hmm. They've been challenging. Do you find that you want to play it on a harder difficulty, or are you there to play it on one that doesn't test your skill too much, and where you can just enjoy the game for its rhythmic pacing and twitch shooter?
I mean, I'm there for, you're not there for the story in most of these games. You're there for the gameplay. I guess it depends on what you're entering the game for. Like, I'm going to enter Wolfenstein 2 for the story. I'm not necessarily there for the gameplay. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying mm-hmm. Wolfenstein 1 enough gameplay wise, but it's not, you know, standout. It's not Doom in that way.
Like games that, when choosing difficulty, which is something that you don't often get to do these days, a lot of games do away with a difficulty setting and just
yeah.
you play the game as is. But I do like the games that give you the option and lay it out for you, like, hey, you could play on the easiest setting. It's okay to do that if you want to just enjoy the story.
Totally.
And one games that explicitly tell you that, I find, are doing a great service.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Odyssey apparently has a really good like assist mode.
That's true. Yeah.
Nier Automata has a like low difficulty mode that is very much like Bayonetta's, I believe, where there's like one button for combat, and mm-hmm. it's totally automated, so you never really have to worry about it. That's a great idea, and I support that completely. For a game like Doom, the thing is that like the way that developers balance difficulty isn't always the same, and it isn't always good either. Sometimes difficulty is just all the characters have tons of health. That sucks. Like, I don't fucking want that at all. I want Halo type difficulty where the characters are all like brilliant mm-hmm. and are all like masters of cover.
Advanced
and shit like
AI.
That. Yeah, I want AI advancements, and
you
I don't
have
want
to
cheating.
Beat the machine.
Yeah, but if you play fucking like, you play like a racing game on high difficulty, you're probably going to run into rubber banding, and that sucks. Like, I want it to be fair, but I don't want it to be like, you know, boring either.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that Doom and Wolfenstein have a good mix, you know, and you could definitely tell when you scale up in difficulty the way that the enemies, and the enemies even just at moderate difficulty, are very, very intelligent. And frustratingly intelligent sometimes, because it's something that you're not used to. And most games have, at the stage we're at in gaming, I mean, there is intelligent AI, you know, and when playing games like Grand Theft Auto or games that feature tons of NPCs, they're moderately intelligent, you know, and mm-hmm. do what they need to do. But in a game that specifically is pitting you against a series of enemies that are, I mean, from what the game's trying to tell you, is that they have their own lives and their own ability to solve problems. I think Wolfenstein does its best. I mean, speaking on Wolfenstein 2 directly, I think they do a really, really good job of making you feel like the enemies are intelligent and can figure out where you are based on solving a problem or tracing you. You know, I think they successfully get there.
That's cool. That's good.
And you're playing the first one. How much have you played of that?
I played the first area, which okay. is like the beach, I think, mm-hmm. of whatever, you know, falsified version of World War II you're in.
Revisionist yeah. history.
Yeah, it's like a fucking giant Nazi mech and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. I mean, the combat is pretty good. The thing that I fucking hate is the way that you pick up items. You actually have to fucking select every item as you approach it. You can't just walk over it. So yeah. I'm just like storming around, mashing E.
I found that to be a problem playing Wolfenstein 2 as well. And that's probably the one gripe I have. Is mm-hmm. the one thing that took me out of the gameplay is having to sometimes with great difficulty pick something up off the ground.
Yeah.
Although it was inconsistent, because at times I would walk over a bunch of armor that was laying on the ground after I killed an enemy that had a bunch of armor, dropped a bunch of armor. Right. Sometimes I would walk over it and I would pick up all of that armor on my own. I wouldn't right. have to stop and pick it up. But then right. other times I'd walk over a similar pile of armor and I wouldn't pick any of it up, and I would have to, you know, use the X button on an Xbox controller to pick it all up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that those games would benefit greatly from, in terms of at least health, armor, and ammo, just walk over it, man. Like, I'm not gonna, yeah. this isn't Skyrim. I don't need to loot the body. Just give me everything.
No. There's something to the necessary modernization of old games that I think Doom is a perfect example of. It understands how games have evolved, and it's integrated those things in a way that doesn't detract from it being a love letter to a genre and a legacy series. The modernization elements don't detract from those things, whereas like Wolfenstein probably forces you to pick those things up by activating them, because that's how the game was when it you know, first came out in 1980, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like playing, developing in a way that strictly adheres to previous development models or game design models is sometimes like a shitty idea and actually detracts from what they're trying to achieve. Like, for example, in Quake Champions, I don't like having 10 guns and I don't like the way that you choose them. I think that moving towards holding fewer guns as a strategy is good, and it also allows me to better manage the weapons that I have. So that's like a modernization element that I appreciate, that I wish that I saw in that game. But fundamentally, that game is a direct reference and directly based on a classic gameplay model that, if you were to change that, would fundamentally change the game. So I don't know, it's a balancing act that you have to achieve. I mean, you want to go back to Sonic again. Like, Sonic's still making you play these fucking roller coaster levels.
Yes.
Like, figure it out, dude. Nobody wants that.
The next Sonic game is just going to be Sonic's theme park adventure, where he's just going to ride roller coasters.
Well, he's going to ride the roller coaster every... And he's going to have to jump out and then, like, walk over to the next roller coaster step.
Oh, man. Yeah, and then, so, it's really interesting because have you seen any of the... any of the Doom gameplay running on Switch?
No.
So that's been something I've been very interested in, because obviously they announced that Bethesda was going to have a working partnership with Nintendo where they're going to release some of their previous titles, Doom and Skyrim, on the Switch. And mm-hmm. then Rockstar then got involved and is releasing L.A. Noire, the remastered version on Switch.
Right.
And... so you got three third-party games coming to the Switch that feel like they would be a lot to process for a handheld, especially one as small as the Switch is. I mean, mm-hmm. the Switch is pretty small when it's
right.
without the Joy-Cons. It's a small thing. And I was when they announced Doom and Skyrim, I was like, fuck, they're going to be like way scaled down. They're going to look like garbage, and they're going to run slow. I just didn't have high hopes for it, but I watched earlier a comparison video of Doom running on like PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Mm-hmm. Obviously, PC looks the best, but the Switch version in handheld mode pretty much looked like the Xbox One version and the PS4 version too.
That's crazy.
I know, it's really crazy to see, because it doesn't look like anything visually takes a big hit. I'm worried, though, that, like, playing that game in handheld mode for 30 minutes was just going to heat that puppy up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have this, like, basic, like, hot brick in your hand. But Doom, I think, just came out on Switch. I haven't picked it up. I don't know if I will. I think I might try Skyrim, and I might try L.A. Noire. I'm definitely going to try L.A. Noire on Switch. But do you think Doom would be cool to play handheld? Would that be something you'd be into?
I mean, it's a good game. Like, yeah. Sure. Yeah. I loved it. I played it on PC, and I'm satisfied with that. I don't play games over again very much, especially this year with all these fucking games coming out, man.
Yeah.
Just, like, nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, sure. Why not? Why not? If it plays well, sure. The only thing that I would be concerned about is frame rate. Hopefully the frame rate stays up. That's... like necessary for that game.
100% necessary. I think with all these Twitch shooters, especially Wolfenstein and the Doom games, gotta have that high frame rate, as high as you can get. Yeah. It
yeah have you played any modern like Twitch shooter games that are direct parallels to Twitch shooters of yore? Like, I'm talking about Quake Champions, for example. Have you played any other games similar to that? There's like Hard Reset or Toxic or games like that?
Not really. To be honest, I've played first person shooters for a long time. I don't shy away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But in this specific niche, it's one that I haven't like really, I mean, I played the Duke Nukem game on 360. I've played you know, all the Call of Duty games, but those are kind of like fringe. They're not, I wouldn't even include them in Twitch shooter genre. But yeah, I mean, so no, I would say no. I would say that when I played Wolfenstein: The Old Blood 2 years ago or whenever that came out, that was like a return to that type of game, you know, for me. And then obviously I just played Wolfenstein 2 all the way through. I played Doom last year, all the way through. So yeah, so no, have you?
I played a game called Toxic on PC that a friend invited me to play, and that's very much a Quake game. It's a multiplayer shooter, and that was fun, but I kind of just moved on afterwards. I just need more from games like that. They need to offer more besides point and shoot, which is ultimately what those games are,
Well,
point and shoot
do you
games.
play lately? Have you been playing any online first-person shooters?
Not lately. I used to be big on Counter-Strike. I played Counter-Strike fucking like 600 hours
Yeah.
when I was younger, but no, not really. I played Battlefield because we played Battlefront, and that made me just want to play Battlefield.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. What about you?
I've grown out of it. I mean, I've actually been playing the new Call of Duty a bit, which is actually kind of enjoyable. It's the World War II one, so they stripped away all that bullshit they've been putting into them, where you know, the run on walls thing, which works in Titanfall 2. In the Titanfall games, I think it works well there. Call of Duty is not for me. But this is a return to like the classic Call of Duty vibes, and they have a lot of new stuff chucked in, which it's actually fun. We got a code for it, digital code, which is nice. You know, I don't think I would have paid for it
Totally.
myself, especially with all the ducats I've been dropping lately on games.
Fuck.
Fuck
Yeah,
is
I'm
right.
just trying to keep up.
Yeah, so I think that's where we're gonna wrap it up. There, hope you enjoyed the epi. We also, well, we're gonna leave a link to some of the videos we've been doing lately. We just did a video on Ninja Gaiden Black.
Ooh,
Nick got his
I beat that
little,
boss, by the
oh,
way.
did you really? I was
It was
just
so
about to say
fucking easy. I just forgot what move to do. Once I figured it out, I was like, oh my
the
God.
pressure of no, it was too much for you. You broke under the pressure. Nick got his butt kicked fighting one of the
Just
easiest bosses in the
repeatedly.
game.
How dare you?
That's an assumption made by me. I don't know if that's true or not.